The Truth Commentary with Rob Pugh, publisher of the Wisconsin Christian News, a ministry dedicated to the truth revealed through Jesus Christ, encouraging listeners to stand boldly as the King's return is at hand.
No politics, no religion. That's the new proper etiquette we have now here in America. It's been going on for decades, but today it's at a whole new level. Whether you're out with a group of colleagues from work or even attending a family meal or gathering, the polite rule is no politics, no religion allowed for discussion. The trouble is, what's defined today as politics really has nothing at all to do with politics. These are moral issues, which have been weaponized and politicized by the radical left. Our newspaper, Wisconsin Christian News, is rejected by more than 99% of pastors who lead churches where politics is off limits. Yes, we do sometimes publish articles that deal with genuine political matters, but most of what these pastors object to is not political, it's moral. I'm talking about the extremely serious, dangerous, and demonic cultural issues our nation is laboring under. The destruction of the natural family, the indoctrination and brainwashing of our children in public schools, the sexual grooming and exploitation of our kids at drag queen events that are now labeled family-friendly and held in public parks, the ongoing murder of millions of babies through the barbaric act of abortion, the long list of special rights, not equal rights, of homosexuals, the radical LGBTQP+ cult that continues to recruit young, impressionable minds everywhere it can. The vilification of loving parents who object to teachers in schools dragging their kids into the confusion of gender dysphoria and transgenderism. And the deliberate maiming and sterilization of young people who've been persuaded they were born in the wrong bodies. I could certainly go on, but none of these things I just mentioned are political. They're absolutely moral issues, spiritual issues, and now we're so far down the rabbit hole with all this stuff, I doubt we'll ever find our way back to reality, because we've lost our moral compass. Most Americans have been given over to depraved minds. Cultural changes happen through advertising, propaganda, and mind manipulation of those who hold influence, facilitated by those who have the money and the means to push their agendas. As my friend Coach Dave Daubenmeyer has stated, Christians give their money to churches. Leftists give their money to causes. So if you're wondering why our nation is so confused and deluded, follow the money. While churches use the majority of their funds to pay salaries, maintain buildings, and host programs that never leave the four walls of their stained glass safe spaces, except perhaps to fund an overseas missionary or two, the left never stops raising money to push all this antichrist wickedness down the throats of mainstream America. So is it any wonder that an average of 72% of regular churchgoers now believe same-sex so-called marriage is perfectly okay? Just a perfectly acceptable alternative lifestyle. We're talking about sodomy here. I'm not going to describe it, but you can look it up. Is it any wonder that a majority of regular churchgoers now question the inerrancy of the Bible? Why so many professing Christians now believe in the so-called settled science of evolution? Why you can't find 1 out of 100 faithful churchgoers willing to speak the truth about so-called political issues, even as their own children are being dragged away to hell? You know, there was a time when it was a good thing to be a Christian in America. Young women sought out a good Christian man. Young men hoped to marry a nice Christian girl. The Bible was called the Good Book. Church was a place of reverence, where you wore your Sunday best, not to impress others, but to put forth the very best of yourself in honor of our Heavenly Father. Christianity, essentially, was the cornerstone of a solid family and a moral society. In those days, it was sort of hard to relate to the words of Jesus in Matthew 10 when he said, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." Or from John 15, "If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." Maybe a small minority of the world hated us back then, but today we dare not even voice an opinion because of the furious, hateful backlash that's sure to come our way if we do. So many professing Christians are so fearful of being seen as intolerant, bigoted, hateful, or even called Nazis that they've now become ashamed of the very word of God they claim to believe and follow. Yes, in most cases, if the truth be told, professing Christians are ashamed of Christ. At the very least, they're too afraid of what others might think of them if they dare open their mouths and speak the truth against the rampant pure evil that's invaded our land. You know I'm right. How many times have you seen wickedness and evil taking place right in your own hometown, yet have chosen to just stay out of it? How many times have you heard or seen someone speaking abominable lies and told yourself, just keep your mouth shut? Faithful churchgoers have been well trained to keep their mouths shut. Instead of being trained up for the work of the ministry, these apostate so-called houses of worship have become what I call deboning facilities. Let me explain. Your pastor may encourage you to invite others to church. You catch them, we'll clean them, he says. You may even somehow muster the courage to do that, and maybe your guests do take you up on the offer and show up. You may think you've made a disciple. You may think, now that you've gotten them to church, they'll get saved. In most cases, you'd be wrong. Instead of being taught sound biblical truth in Scripture, and then trained up for the work of the ministry, provided they spend enough time at that deboning facility you call a church, they'll soon find they've had their backbones removed and are now just as afraid as you are of proclaiming God's word and truth, just as afraid as you are of talking about politics or religion in public, on social media, or even in your own home if you have guests over who may be unbelievers. If you're a true Christ follower, then you're what people call a conservative Christian, and you're not afraid of what the world thinks of you. Obedience to your Savior vastly outweighs the sticks and stones you may have to endure from the world. And as such, with a Christian conservative worldview, our opinions and the ideas we present are sensible, thoughtful, based on Scripture, even quite scientific and educated. Yet the other side, those who oppose us so strongly, portray us as a bunch of ignorant, intolerant, uneducated morons, who are so arrogant we constantly force our religion down the throats of everyone else. I have to ask, who's forcing what down whose throats? Of course, we're also called haters, homophobes, hypocrites, and many other things. But why does that surprise you, and why do you care? Is it not infinitely more important that you're following in the footsteps of Christ Himself, carrying the cross He's called you to bear? Let's be honest here. The persecution you may face in this country is nothing compared to what our brothers and sisters in other lands endure. And yet they have the courage to speak, share their testimonies, and proclaim the good news of the gospel of Christ at every opportunity, even though it may cost them their very lives. Hebrews 11 lists a partial hall of fame of faithful followers of God, many of whom labored in obscurity the whole of their lives without seeing the fruit of their service. And at the end of the chapter, we read about those good and faithful servants who were truly persecuted, yet they persevered. Let's read together. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. That doesn't sound much like your best life now that the majority of modern American pastors and churches promise, does it? Obedience to Christ comes with a cost. Being a Christian is the ultimate in being countercultural, the ultimate rebellion in this world ruled by Satan. And understand this, God doesn't want anything from you that doesn't cost you something. Many times you'll find those that hate you the most for being a faithful servant of the Most High will be those who stand and sing on cue every Sunday morning but would never dare speak the name of Jesus outside of their safe spaces, unless they're using His name as a curse word. Those early disciples found that out. Just like Jesus Himself, they were considered enemies, not just by the world, but more so by the religious leaders. In Acts 17, those panicked religious leaders declared of the Christ followers, "These that have turned the world upside down are come here also." Does your pastor teach you and encourage you to get out of those four walls and turn the world upside down? Does he lead you out of the church house to the city council or school board meetings? Does he stand with you as you intercede at the baby killing centers or against the drag queens and other reprobates as they twist the minds and souls of your children? Does he do anything to seek and save the lost and perishing in your own hometown other than deliver a 15-minute feel-good message on Sunday? And if you embrace the courage of your convictions that God's given you and start a ministry that actually does something, does he back you up and encourage you, or does he discourage you from doing anything of substance and tell others to stay away from you because you're a radical? You know, I once had a pastor call me a Christian activist. He meant it as a derogatory term. He said it with disdain for me. I wore those words as a badge of honor. In Revelation 2 and 3, we read the risen Christ's words to the seven churches. He had some dire warnings for them. Perhaps you see your own church described in one or more of these, but I think the church that is most like our modern American churches is the Church of Laodicea. Laodicea, which was located in modern-day Turkey, was a wealthy city on a major trade route that connected it to Ephesus, Smyrna, and Sardis. It was also a center of textile production and banking, big money, lavish lifestyles, a center of commerce, much like America. But here's what Christ had to say about the church there. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Later in Revelation 21:8, we read about the souls of those that will be forever tormented in the lake of fire. Those include the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars. But the first on that list are the fearful and unbelieving. In other words, the cowards. If you're ashamed of your Savior, he's not your Savior. Not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. This should concern you. Understand, though you may think otherwise, it's no better to be safe than sorry. We have but one life to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's commanded us to do so and equipped us with courage, power, love, and sound minds to seek, learn, understand, and then speak the truth of his word gently, humbly, and patiently to a lost and dying world. Still going to keep your mouth shut and play it safe? If so, then one day you will be very sorry. Audio CDs and transcripts of this message are available when you call me at Wisconsin Christian News, 715-486-8066, or email Rob, R-O-B, at wisconsinchristiannews.com and ask for message number 479.
This has been the Truth Commentary with Rob Pugh, publisher of the Wisconsin Christian News. Find us on the internet at wisconsinchristiannews.com. Questions and comments? Email Rob, R-O-B, at wisconsinchristiannews.com.
The views expressed are those of the speaker.